Hi everyone. Today we're going to continue our study of 1 Thessalonians. So our passage today is 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 verses 13 through 18. This is chapter 4 verses 13 through 18. So let me read this for us to start. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. For this we declare to you by a word from the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. So this, I believe, was shared earlier in our study of 1 Thessalonians in the earlier parts of the letter. But just as a reminder, the people that Paul is writing to, the believers, the Christians of Thessalonica, were relatively new Christians at the time of writing. Even still, as we've seen in the last couple of weeks, these early Christians have been living commendable lives devoted to God. In our passage today, it seems that Paul has been notified about a concern that Thessalonians had. And based on what Paul writes here, it seems that they may have concerns about those who had come to know the Lord but had died before his return. So again, these are early Christians. They've understood the gospel, they've received it, but now they've got this question. What happens to people who have died, you know, Christians who have died? And just to be clear, when Paul is saying those who are asleep, that's who he's referring to. He uses that phrase to describe those who have passed away, the believers in particular who have passed away. The Thessalonians knew that Jesus would one day return, and they were likely very eager for that day to come. And we'll actually get into this a little bit more in tomorrow's passage. But now they're wondering here, and even worried maybe, well, Jesus hasn't come back yet. So what about our brothers and sisters who are no longer alive for his coming? What happens to them? Will they be able to receive the blessing that will come on the day of the Lord's return? So Paul somehow must have heard from them and received this question. He wants to set the record straight. He wants to make sure that they're not uninformed. And he goes on to explain that dead or alive, the hope remains the same, because our hope is in the eternal life we have with Jesus. Again, to summarize what Paul's response here, is our hope is in the eternal life we have with Jesus. Paul wants to make sure that the Thessalonians know that they don't need to worry or fret. They shouldn't grieve as others do who have no hope, because as Christians, we do have a hope. It's an unbreakable, unchangeable hope. And that hope is in the resurrected Jesus. This hope allows us to be joyful rather than be filled with grief, even when our brothers and sisters, our spiritual brothers and sisters, pass away. Whether Jesus returns in our lifetime or generations later, though God, Lord, we hope that he will return soon, our hope remains the same. Paul continues on by stating that just as Jesus died and rose again, through Jesus, all those who have fallen asleep will also rise again on the day Jesus returns. And on that day, as it says in verse 17, both the living and the dead will rise, be caught up together in the clouds to meet the Lord. And here's the key part. So we will always be with the Lord. You will always be with the Lord. I know it might be easy to get caught up in some of the details of what Paul is saying here. Like, what exactly is a voice of an archangel? What will it look like when the dead rise? Is Paul saying that we're going to literally be flying or floating in the air? I have to admit that those things are fascinating to speculate about, and you know, there may be different ideas or understandings of this, but again, I think what's most important is the main point of the passage, and it's this, that our hope is in the eternal life we have with Jesus. We don't know exactly how the day of the Lord will unfold. We don't know when that is. But as followers of Jesus, we know that on that day, and every day until that day, our hope is in the eternal life we have with Jesus. We can have an intimate life with Jesus now because of his work on the cross. He made a way for us to be with him now. But on that day of his return, we will enter into an unbroken, perfect communion with Jesus for all eternity. And that's the hope that we have for ourselves and for all those who have gone before us. And so to close, I want to share two final thoughts. The first is a question. Does your life, does your everyday life, reflect the hope you have in Jesus? Does your everyday life reflect the hope you have in Jesus? It's quite easy to be distracted by the things of this world or start to think in a worldly sense, thinking that this life and everything in it is the final state of things. And therefore, it's easy to fret and to worry about all sorts of things. But remember, as followers of Jesus, we have a future hope. We have an assurance of what is to come. So let's live with eternity on our hearts and allow that to see our lives and everything in it from God's lens rather than our own. And second, another question, how can we encourage and remind one another of this hope? How can we encourage and remind one another of this hope? Paul says in verse 18, very directly, therefore, encourage one another with these words. There's no misunderstanding Paul's words here. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. He tells us to encourage each other about the hope we have of one day always being with the Lord. And so let's do that. Let's remind each other of this hope. Let's encourage one another to be with the Lord on a daily basis now. This eternal hope is meant to be a continuation of the communion that we have with Jesus now. So let's encourage each other of that. This sort of hope only comes about through Jesus. Paul says in verse 14 that those who have fallen asleep will rise through Jesus. So let's encourage each other to remain in Jesus now, and from there to remember the hope of eternal life with him. So with that, let me pray for us to close out this time. Lord Heavenly Father, we confess that we, in our limited finite human minds, it's hard for us to grasp eternity. It's very easy, on the other hand, to be very focused on the now, to be very focused on the things we see in front of us. And that's obviously important. It's not that we're to neglect what happens on this earth, but what we do now, what happens now, what we experience now has eternal consequences. We know that the end of this life is not the complete end of everything, but that there is more. And on the day of your return, we will be in full, perfect communion with you. And so, God, I just pray that you would help us to live knowing this to be true, that the things that we value, the things that we pursue, the things that we desire, God, would result from understanding that we are eternal beings and we have eternity ahead of us. And out of that, help us to encourage one another to remember this, that if we see a brother or sister living in a different way, in a way that is not set on you, Lord, that we would not be afraid to encourage them, Lord, to speak into their lives your truths, God. So, God, we thank you for this word and this time with you today. Help us to hold these words in our hearts. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.